And welcome to Let's Do It Radio Bible Study for February 2nd, 2022. I am Miss Inez, broadcasting to you worldwide. Some of you may not know the owner of Do It in the Mall. Sharon Salisbury passed away December 21st, 2021. And we are wanting to continue her legacy of Let's Do It Radio. Even though Sharon has passed away, we love to have your continued support as she loved to have her church services and, of course, Bible study. Every other Wednesday evening, Reverends Carolyn and Rodney McCullough of Spread the Word Ministries, Arlington, Texas, bring Bible study, and this evening will be the lessons of Sermon on the Mount. We will have a song, prayer, and then welcome Reverends Carolyn and Rodney McCullough. Thank you, and welcome to Let's Do It Radio Bible Study.
None on earth unmoved can stand.
Thank you, choir. And yes, I'd like to welcome Reverend Carolyn and Rodney McCullough, after which they join us in, after their welcome, we'll have a prayer, and it will be in their hands. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome, everybody.
Hello.
Thank you for being here this evening. Wonderful. And so
yes.
We just want to say welcome, and we're praising God. We're continuing to pray for the Salisbury family in the loss of our
yes.
dear friend. So hard to believe that she's no longer with us, but we know God is able,
Amen.
Right?
Yes,
God
yes,
is
yes.
Able. We thank God, and we bless God, and we honor God today.
Yeah,
so, Heavenly Father,
yeah.
we just come to you thanking you, O Lord, for another day, thanking you for this day, thanking you for another opportunity to approach your throne one more time. We don't ever take anything for granted when we are able to come before your presence, O Lord. So we ask now that you would forgive us for all of our sins and that you would cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. Make within each of us a clean heart and renew a right spirit, O Lord. And then we ask, O God, that you would just be with us tonight. Help us, O God,
yes.
to study your word and to understand your word. But more importantly, help us to apply your word so that we can live our best life for you.
Yes.
We thank you, O
yes.
Lord, in the name of Jesus for everything that you
Mighty
have done.
Name.
Will do and continue to do. And we thank you for that song
Amen.
Reminding us that we can hold to your unchanging hand because you are the same today, tomorrow, forevermore. And we thank you for that now
yes.
in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
So we just ask you to be with us now in the mighty name of Jesus. Reverend Rodney is going to lead this study, and we are happy to have him leading us in
yes.
this study tonight. And so all of us are able to join in and share however the Holy Spirit leads you to share. We are just at
Amen.
The round table, wherever you are, in your home, in your cars, in your office. We just ask that you just stretch your hand out and say, Lord, consecrate this sacred space. Be here with
yes.
me now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Good. I pray that everybody's doing well. Everybody has had
yes.
a good day. We are thankful that we know that the water is coming down from the sky now, and they are saying
yes.
that we are going to have a freeze today. So we
mm-hmm.
thank God
mm-hmm.
that he is still in control of his weather. And we know that he can do any and everything but fail. So we bless
That's
God
right.
for the weather, because the weather helps us to see, amen, that he
amen.
Is still in control. Amen.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen.
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 Amen. To God be the glory.
Yes.
To God
yes, yes.
be the glory. Are we ready?
Yes.
We
ready.
Are.
All right. All right. It is good to be back on the air, on the video, on this podcast.
Yes.
It is good to hear voices.
Praise God.
I haven't heard in a minute, but God is still good. Amen.
Yes,
amen. Amen.
Amen.
So happy New Year.
Yes.
And happy all those other
yes.
whatever we have missed. Since we have been
hmm.
together, I don't know what all has occurred, but happy everything. Certainly happy new year to all as we are starting
yeah.
a brand new year. I thank God for this opportunity. I thank God for life, health, and strength. And so we want to get right into our study tonight. Again, Lord, we just ask that you bless this time that we are spending with you in study.
Yeah.
We pray, God, that you would forgive all of our sins. And we ask that you would allow us to clearly understand your word. Lord, lead, guide, and direct us into all truth. And I pray that you would touch us in a special way, that you would get the glory out of all we study and receive tonight. And, oh, God, I pray that we are not selfish with anything that you allow us to receive, but that we would tell someone else about your goodness, that we will tell
yeah.
someone else about your grace, and that we will tell someone else about your glory. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah. Well, we left off studying about the lessons from the Sermon on the Mount. And what we are going through is looking at is chapter 5, 6, and 7 of the book of Matthew. Chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. Those three chapters represent a sermon that Jesus preached. And let's introduce this lesson tonight with this brief discussion or a little background. Ministry is often, or sometimes, is birthed out of struggles. It's birthed out of adversity, and ministry is birthed out of misfortune. Sometimes God calls us to do things out of our struggle. Sometimes God calls us to do things out of our misfortune. Sometimes God calls us to do ministry out of our pain. And Jesus was led into the wilderness for how many days? 40 days and for 40 nights. And Jesus got hungry, Reverend Lil, and the Bible says that the devil led Jesus out in the wilderness. The devil said, "If you are the Son," once Jesus was hungry out in the wilderness, word says this, the devil says, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." Now for a hungry person who have the power to turn stone into bread, that would be pretty enticing. But Jesus, who Jesus was able to resist. So that didn't work. So the enemy took Jesus up to a holy city, high on the temple. And he said, "If you are the Son of God, then throw yourself down. And if you are who you say you are, then the angels are going to catch you before you fall." And Jesus resisted that temptation as well. And finally, says he took him up on a high mountain, and he showed him all of the kingdom of the world. He says to Jesus, and this is ironic. How could you give something away that don't even belong to you? He said to Jesus, "I'll give you all of this. I'll give you all of this. Don't even belong to him, but I'll give you all of this if you bow down and worship me." Jesus said, "Be gone, Satan."
Right.
"Be gone, Satan."
Better go somewhere.
Better go somewhere. "You shall not worship. You shall worship the Lord your God and him only." Why did I talk about that? Because not long after that, Jesus went up and Jesus preached. Jesus preached on the backside of a mountain. And I don't know how long he preached. I know he preached longer than we be in church. I know he preached longer than a couple of hours. He preached for a while. He talked preached for a while. And folks were there listening. And so chapter 5, verses 1 through 12 is what we looked at the first time we gathered and talked about lessons from the Sermon on the Mount. And we call that lesson "The Different Faces of a Blessing." And Reverend Lil, if you have your Bibles, because I know I can always count on you, if you would read Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, and we're just reviewing so we can come up to where we are quickly tonight. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And when we talked about these verses, we titled the lesson "The Different Faces of a Blessing." And so if you have all your apparatus, just read those verses for us.
Chapter 5, verses 1 through 12 reads, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Hallelujah. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So that's verses 1 through 12. That's where we started. And we took a few weeks of lessons on that, the different phases of a blessing. We talked about how blessings can look. A blessing might look different than it might look. A blessing might look different to me than it might to you. What I might call a blessing may not be a blessing to you because it could become the ordinary in a sense, in a way of speaking. So blessings take on different forms, and blessings may have different faces, and blessings may look different, sound different, feel different. So we went through those 12 verses. Then we moved on to, want to make sure nobody have any questions or comments about that as we just review the next few verses that we talked about. Then we moved on to Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, and we talked about the Christian purpose. The Christian purpose. So someone would read those verses, verses 13 through 16, Matthew chapter 5, 13, 14, 15, 16. Those are four verses.
Yeah,
I will do that.
Read those. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Blessed are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the salt. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Amen.
So we discussed a little bit there about the Christian purpose, what our purpose is. We are indeed the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. Amen. We don't want to hide our light, but we want to let it shine. All will see who we are and who we represent, not in a boastful manner, but the fact that we represent the light because Jesus is the light. And so we want not to let our light be hidden, but we want our light to shine. And then, Sister Inez, if you will read verses 17 through 20, and when we read those verses, we talked about why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come? Verses 17 through 20, and that will bring us up to where we will start tonight.
Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do this and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Why did Jesus come? I do not think that I've come to abolish the law of the prophets, but I've come to fulfill them. Jesus' purpose is not to tear down, but his purpose is to build up.
About
to build up. And so that's a good word right there, even as we get into the tonight's lesson. We should always be trying to build each other up.
Yes.
A lot of times we're trying to tear each other down. And we should always be lifting each other up. You know, you can find some good in anybody. You really can.
Yeah.
And some people say, well, if I look hard enough, look hard enough. You know, we can find some good in everybody. You know, people say, well, I really got to look hard to find some good in her. Well, just look hard. Because we can find something good to say about everybody. So that's what Christ, that's what Jesus Christ did. He didn't come to tear down, but he came. He came to lift up. Even when he was on the cross, I believe that they had to lift him up. Even when he was on the cross, he was lifted up. So tonight we're up to verse number 21, and we'll go as far as we can. The lesson tonight goes through verse number 42. We'll go as far as we can, and if we don't finish, we'll pick back up on the next time. But we are looking at anger. Anybody know anything about anger? Now, y'all, we got everybody connected, always cool, calm, and collected. Does anybody know anything about anger?
Okay.
Anybody ever heard the word lust?
Yeah.
Let's talk a little about divorce. See what the Bible says in these texts about divorce. Mm-hmm. See what it says about an oath, taking an oath. And retaliation. So, Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse number 21. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. Verse number 22, but I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. Verse 23. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, verse 24, leave your gift there before the altar and go first to reconcile to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Verse number 25, come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be put in prison. Verse number 26, truly I say to you, you will never get out until you pay the last penny. Let's go back up to verse number 21. Don't always believe what you hear. It says, you have heard, but you know what? We can't really always believe, because, you know, folk will say anything. We can't always believe what we hear. People will say something. If somebody understands what makes you angry, if somebody understands what makes us mad or what can trigger us, folk know how to say just that thing to us. So we can't always, and we certainly can't always believe what people say about us, because people, you know, sometimes I've heard it say, well, don't receive it. Because people can speak anything into our lives, but we don't have to receive it. People can speak anything into your life, but we don't have to receive it. Don't always believe what you hear. You shall not murder. Isn't that one of the commandments?
I believe it's
the sixth commandment. You shall not murder. I believe it's number six. You shall not murder. Moses, you remember Moses? Moses murdered somebody. Who did Moses murder? You remember?
Egyptian.
He thought nobody saw him.
Mm-hmm.
He murdered the Egyptian.
No, I'm through.
Yeah, he murdered the Egyptian, and he hid. He tried to cover it up, but he was seen. But let's listen to these verses. Then verses now, in verse number 22. But I say to you, everyone who is angry Everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. So when the Bible was written, if you murdered somebody, you were liable for judgment. But now, if you angry with somebody, you're liable. You see the difference? And when the Bible was written, if you murdered somebody, it says, if you murdered somebody, you were liable to judgment. But now, in verse 22, but now I say, and that's good for today, now I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. So you don't have to kill anybody. You can just be angry, and you're still liable to the judgment of the Lord.
Hmm.
Anyone who insults, okay, anyone who's angry, anyone who insults his brother will be liable to the council. And anyone who says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. So what do you get out of that? What do you all get out of that? When this was written, the standard was if you murder somebody, and so one might look at that as a high standard, because I don't, you know, I'm not going to ask if anybody in the airway have murdered anybody. I'm not even going to ask that question. But that seems like a high standard. If you murder somebody, when these words were written, you would be liable to judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But now you don't have to murder. You can just be angry. You can just be angry. You can insult somebody, and you're still alive. So now we get down to where the rubber meets the road, because I know we get angry sometimes.
Right.
I know we insult people sometimes, whether or not we do it or not. Whether or not we intend to or not. So what are anyone hearing from what we are saying already? Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. Questions, comments, concerns before we move on?
Well, I think when you really think about it, anger leads to so many different places we don't want to go. So we don't want to find ourselves in a place of anger. The Bible teaches that we can get angry but sin not. And so we want to be careful about where our anger will take us, because it will take us places we do not want to go.
Amen.
And before we move to a place of murdering somebody or killing somebody or hurting somebody severely, you're in a rage, an anger state of rage. And so these are places that we do not want to get to. And because we don't want to get there, it would probably help us to I know it will help us to not be in a state of mind to wherein we would hurt someone.
Right. Right.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Hmm.
And I see God, I think God is making it. Go ahead. Please go ahead.
Mm-hmm. So what it sounds like to me is you have to be humble. You can't do any wrongdoing. You can't look at anybody sideways crazy. You can't fuss them out. You can't call them names. You can't murder. You can't do all these things because you're supposed to be Christ-like. So once you're Christ-like, he didn't do all those things. So that should not be within us. So therefore, we need to be, our temples need to be clean or cleansed or what have you. So basically it's telling us, basically it's telling you, don't do this. If all he has to say is be like Christ, and that would take care of a whole lot of things. But a lot of people don't know what it is to be like Christ. So therefore, in the Bible, it lays out you can't do this, you can't do this, can't, you know, this is prohibited, this is prohibited, this is prohibited. So therefore, they're giving you a list of, okay, if you know you're going to, you know, fuss at somebody, no, that's not a good thing. If you know you're going to call somebody out their name, no, that's not good. You know you're going to murder somebody, no, that's not good. You know, if you're going to look at somebody sideways, no, that's not good. So they're trying to put you to a easy path and break it down for you so to make it easy. Write the vision, make it plain. Well, he's just trying to make each line plain for us so that we know which direction we need to go.
That's right. That's right.
And
Amen.
The term humility is a big one. So I thank you for bringing that point forward, because when we are in a state of humility, we are in a childlike state, and we don't think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. And so we want to remain humble in all of our doings. We want to do everything that we can to be like a child before the Lord, because there is nothing good in our flesh, right?
That's what
nothing
the word is.
Yes.
In our flesh.
Because we are all
so
sinners. That's right.
That's right. And so we're not looking to boast and boost ourselves up. What we're wanting to do is remain as humble as we possibly can. And the more humility we are able to show, the more the Lord is able to work with us. And the word of the Lord says that if we humble ourselves before him, he will do what? He will elevate us.
Yeah.
And so
that
is what we want to do.
May I
say
something?
Yes. Yes, please.
I'm Reverend Marshall, Ron Marshall. Enjoying the conversation, enjoying the study. You know, there is nature, fallen nature, Adamic, Adam, Eve. In that fallen nature, murder is one of the attributes of that nature. In that nature, argument, murmuring, complaining, and bickering, and fighting, and all of those attributes is a part of that nature. That is the Adamic nature, even which Cain did the murder with Abe. So that Adamic nature holds all of the attributes that's not pertaining to the divine nature.
Yeah.
So long as an individual nature hasn't been changed and they are operating in that examining nature, then they're going to be a part of everything that goes on in the world. If they in the church choir, even if they on the usher board, even if they in the pulpit, they are still operating in the Adamic fallen nature of mankind, then all of the attributes that's contrary to the fruits of the Spirit, they are there.
That's it.
Yeah.
You can't go past it. You can't. Anytime you try to search in the world for light, why do you think Jesus told him? Jesus said, why seek y'all the living among the dead?
Amongst the dead.
If Chelsea, the model, the Miss USA, if she had been in the divine nature instead of the fallen Adamic nature, she would not have climbed up over that rail and jumped. But because she was solely into that Adamic nature, fallen nature, she could hear the Holy Ghost. Now, don't y'all sit here and think that the Holy Ghost didn't say to her, Chelsea, don't do that.
He
hollered at her. But she was so engulfed into the Adamic nature of humanity, she couldn't even hear the Holy Ghost to save her own life. Now, Jesus told us, he said, he that coming into Christ is a new creature. So you when you come into Jesus, you take on the divine nature. Your nature change, your attributes change, your daily actions. It's the fruits of the Spirit. It's not the actions of maniacs walking around in the world. I just want to share that.
That's good.
And Jesus warns us about the flesh. He warns us about the flesh, and therefore we become a new creature by being transformed. Mm-hmm. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is renewed when you become transformed. And I submit that many people who are not experiencing transformation may not have experienced true salvation. So we want to go back to the altar to become transformed. And he will transform us. God will transform us. When you truly give yourself to the Lord, and this is why when we come to him and we accept him as our Lord and our Savior, we have to come in a state of humility, and we got to pray daily asking that our flesh be killed, hallelujah, because the flesh will get away and make you do things that you even yourself think is right. But it is not right when it is not according to God. So thank you for that very good point, sir.
Amen. 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 Thank all of you all. Thank all of you all for those, because that has added so much. It has added so much clarity to what we are trying to say tonight. You know, and we're still looking at anger, lust, divorce, oath, and retaliation. We're still on anger right now. And before we move on, you know, this text starts out. This text starts out. You shall not murder. Most folk, most folk we know, I believe, and I'm going to venture out to say this. Most folk we know are in our circle. Probably have not committed murder. We might know somebody here and there, but that's not a common thing, I believe, in most people's circle. Unless you're just in that world and that's what you do. But so a lot of people might read this text and say, "Well, I have never murdered anybody. I don't plan to murder anybody. So this is not addressing me. This ain't, you know, I can bypass this part of the Bible." But in God's wisdom, he didn't stop there. He says, if you get angry, if you insult somebody, see, now that's drawing a whole lot of folk in. That's drawing all of us in for the most part. We might not be a murderer, but I guarantee you at some point we have gotten upset. We've gotten angry. We've insulted somebody. Okay? And so now that makes the playing field level, rather. That makes the playing field level when he speaks of being angry and insulting, because that sometimes that's common. That's, you know, that's a way of life, and it ain't just a way of life for folk who don't know Christ as their Savior. It's sometimes people who are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost get upset, get angry, you know, walk out the church, cuss folk out. It ain't right, but it has happened. It has happened. So we're gonna move on. We're gonna move on to lust. Verse number 27, you have heard that it is said, you shall not commit adultery. And see, it starts out just like the previous, text or verse. You shall not commit murder. That's lofty. That's kind of high up there, you know? And so somebody might say, I would never commit adultery. I would never murder anybody. But watch this. Verse number 28. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And now here's his heart. It's talking about a man in this text. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. But don't get it twisted, y'all. This is not only for the man. If a woman looks at a man or a woman or whatever the case might be with lust, this text still applies. Am I right?
That's right.
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 Still applies. It still applies. So here again, but it seems like the standard started out high. And I'm just using high loosely. Don't commit adultery. If you commit adultery, but even if you don't actually go through with the act, but if you look with lust, you've already done it.
And you know something? In lieu of what you're saying, brother, you see, if your mind is not on Christ, well, let's go to this Romans, the 8th chapter. It says, there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. For if you walk after the flesh, you do mind the things of the flesh. So if your practice is only fleshly actions, then lust is just a part of your day. You're going to lust for this. You're going to lust for that. Your appetite is just lustful if you're walking after the flesh, the human nature. He said, but if you walk after the Spirit of God, that means when that conversation go on in your mind, read the Bible. What if you're walking after the Spirit? Mm-hmm. You're going to the Bible. Then if you get mature enough in Christ, when the Holy Ghost speak to you and tell you to do the things of God and you begin to practice that, then after a while, you're concerned about the things of God. So when the old nature, Lucifer, speaks to your train of thinking, then you immediately do what a saved person does, that really mature in God. The Lord rebuke you, Lucifer. And you don't tarry with what Lucifer puts on the table. The Bible says he shouldn't have space nor place in our lives. We should resist him. We should resist him immediately because we are on the things of God and we don't want to get our garment dirty with fallen attributes.
That's right.
We don't want to stop getting the blessings of the Lord to participate in lust. Lust don't pay us wages of profitability or life, but it pays us wages of death. When we become mature in the Lord, then lust is not a part of our practice. Now, that's not saying that we won't have to say, forgive me, Lord, sometimes, but it's not our practice. Our practice is righteousness, following the Spirit. Get mature enough to follow the Spirit when the Spirit speaks to us. And the more we practice, the more we become like him.
The more we become like him. That's right. Y'all, let's put a pin. Let's put a pin right there because let's back up. I wanted to bring out a couple of more points in that first section. So we're going to put a pin right there and come back. But we needed to bring out a couple more points. And I got so excited that I moved before we did. Let's go back up to verse number 23. Let's back up, back this train up. Verse number 23. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, this is what you do. You leave your gift there before the altar and go first to reconcile to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. What are we saying? I don't know if you have the outline, but what I have here in the outline is that you are more important. You are more important than your gift, okay? You're more important than your gift. So if you're taking your gift to the altar, but you remember that you have something against your brother, and this can lead to a little more discussion. This can lead to some further discussion, because if you have your gift and you're bringing it to the altar, but you remember that you have something against your brother or your sister, don't leave your gift and then first go take care of what you need to with your brother or sister. Then you come back, because you know making that situation right is more important than the gift you are about to offer, because we're gonna eliminate the gift that we're getting ready to offer if we're not offered it with the right spirit. Y'all follow me?
Amen.
Yeah.
We don't have the right heart if our heart ain't right. You know, folk can give $1 million, but if their heart ain't right.
Right.
If their heart ain't right, that $1 million ain't worth nothing.
And that is why we need to understand the context of the scripture when it says, therefore there is no condemnation but those who are in Christ Jesus. As Reverend Marshall made it clear, that is with the intent of us living a Christ-like life. So with that intent, then when you're trying to do what the word instructs us to do, then we will not be as apt to error.
Amen.
In our
That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Thank God.
That's
Amen.
Right. Amen.
That's
Amen.
Right. That's right. So the gift
mm-hmm.
loses its purpose. The gift loses its purpose. The gift loses its perfect purpose when the person is not right. The gift loses
mm-hmm.
its power. The gift loses its purpose when the person
mm-hmm.
is not right.
Mm-hmm.
So let me make sure. Let me make sure. Everybody pause this for another moment. We make sure, okay. Let me see. Anybody need to make a comment other than Reverend
Praise
Carolyn?
Praise the Lord, I want to make a comment.
Sister
I know Inez, I'm getting on the
Reverend Marshall.
But this is Reverend Williamson. That I've heard
Come
thus
on.
Far has been good. But looking at, you know, this 24th verse, 23rd, 24th, but before you, and let me say it like this. Your gift does not have to just be your tithing gift. It could be your gift
That's right.
of preaching, teaching, singing, whatever you do for the
That's
Lord.
Right.
It can
That's
be
right.
that. And if you got an issue or out with your brother, vice versa, he challenges us to make sure we strive to reconcile the difference before we want to go forth. And I've had people knowing that there is a out or they have a problem with a brother or sister, but they want to come and they want to hold their title, hold their position, sing their song, and then not willing to try to get the thing right. But Jesus mm-hmm. is encouraging us before you go and try to do whatever you do, or even bring your gift mm-hmm. as a tithe, whatever you do.
Yeah.
You make sure you
sure
get it right.
You
make sure you get it right. I don't care because your gift, no, reconciliation takes priority
mm-hmm.
over your gift.
Right.
It takes priority
That's
over
right.
whatever you're going to offer to the Lord, that reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
It has
mm-hmm.
to be a must. And I'll add this on to it. If a person is not willing to reconcile differences or want to
mm-hmm.
hold on to anger, malice, or whatever in their heart and not get it right, they're not going to grow. Reverend Marshall
mm-hmm.
say, talking about your spiritual maturity, and if you're in Christ,
mm-hmm.
you can't hold all that stuff. You got to let that stuff go. You're doing
mm-hmm.
yourself damage
mm-hmm.
with your relationship with God if you're not willing to really, truly be humble. And even if you're wrong and if you're not wrong, just reconcile.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line. Reconcile
mm-hmm.
before you try to go forth. And so I think that just adds on to everything that said. This is what we must do as God's children, as disciples, as followers of Christ, because
Yeah.
if we don't do it, think about the example that we set before those that don't know our Savior. If they see, oh, we got a problem with each other, we can't reconcile different, you know, and we want to still go sing our song, and we want to go preach our message, and knowing that you're looking at one of your
That's
members
right.
or one of your, you know, you, it's bad, it's deep, but we got some work in. That's what Bible study is for, so we can get some clarity, understanding, and then apply what we learn to our lives so we can be better in reflecting Christ
right.
and doing His work. Amen.
That's good.
Amen.
That's good. That's good.
Oh, yeah. Spot on.
Did you say, let me make sure I get the name. Did you say Reverend Williams?
Williamson.
Williamson. Williamson. Thank you so
mm-hmm.
much. Thank you so
yeah.
much.
Amen.
And, Reverend Marshall, do you have another comment? Reverend Williams.
Well, just in lieu of what
you can get back in now. There's another person spoke. You get back in. Come on.
in lieu of what Pastor Williamson said and what has been said, if the saints practice more of wholeness, sameness of mind, then we'd be more of a witness than we will be carnal. If we practice, if our daily practice as a child of God is more of holiness, saneness of mind, then we'll be a witness for the lost instead of comparison to the lost. See, right now, a lot of the people that say they follow God, they are in comparison with people that are in the world. Jesus didn't call us to mimic worldly people. He called us to witness to worldly people, not mimic their lifestyle, not mimic their practice. Our practice in the worldly people practice is a different practice. We are put there. The worldly people are blinded. The Bible says they've been blinded by the god of darkness of this world. Now, let me go back. And I don't keep meaning to maybe eliminate this, Pastor McCullough, but let's go back. Who was around Chelsea that was saved, that could discern her mental stage or her mindset? Who was around her that was talking about they are part of Jesus, but was more into AKA being a sore sister instead of a witness?
That's a great question.
That's a great question.
And this is why we cannot take anything for granted. We have to always be in a position to always be ready to give an answer to those who are seeking and searching or in agony of any kind.
But we can't do it.
Who's this?
We can't.
Just so we all can be on one accord. Who's this? Who's Chelsea? Is who?
Miss USA, you know, she jumped off of a skyscraper in New York the other day.
She won
3 years ago in North Carolina, and then she went on to be Miss USA. She had a master's degree. She had a doctorate's degree. She had a PhD degree, and she had a bachelor. And she was at the top of her career. But my thing was about is who was around her who said to her, I believe in Jesus? Who was around her who was noted as a follower of Christ, but they was more in comparison with the soror sisters until they wouldn't preach Jesus? They was preaching a sore. And they missed, they couldn't. She jumped
off a skyscraper.
Yeah.
61 stories.
And when we were introducing the lesson tonight, Jesus was taken up high for the most part to a skyscraper. And the devil said, throw yourself down.
And I'm sure
those were the same words that were said to this young woman.
And
throw
she did
yourself
by
down.
The devil. By the
right.
devil.
By, mm-hmm. But Jesus had some other words. Jesus said, what did Jesus say? When
Jesus said,
don't
devil,
do it. Get behind me.
That's
we cannot tempt the Lord our God.
That's it.
That's why it is so important to know the voice of God. If you're a Christian, Christianity, salvation, discipleship, follower of Christ, it's important to know the voice of the Lord. Jesus says, my sheep, they hear my voice, know me, they won't follow a strange voice. So it's imperative. It's a must that we as God's people know the voice of God, know the word of God, that we would be willing. I think that was Pastor McCullough said, Pastor Carolyn said, be ready to give an answer. We've got to be ready to give an answer to where our hope lies. And not be ashamed. Don't be ashamed, you know, because somebody might not ask you. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
They might not even ask you. But you got to be able to discern, too, the situation, the person, when they don't say nothing, that the Spirit of God leads you.
Hey.
Hallelujah. You could be able to minister to that person. And
yes.
you just never know. You may save a life. But if you don't know the voice of God and you're not listening to him yourself and you're not seeking him and you're not obeying him, then when he speaks to you, I think it was Reverend Ronnie, Reverend Marshall talked about that in the flesh. It's so easy to get in the flesh and be led by the flesh. And I think it was Paul said over there in Romans 8 said to talk about to be carnal minded is to be enmity with God. You're opposing God. You're opposing the things of God when you're carnal minded and walking after the flesh and seeking the things after the flesh. So we study God's word and get insight and revelation of God's word, we apply it to our lives and be willing to help somebody that's walking in darkness. Because so many people, it kills my heart, to see the world we're in. But we got the answer. Hallelujah. That's good news. Woo, bless the Lord. We got the answer. Glory to God. And so that's exciting right there. Come on, that's my mouth. Come on, Peter.
A lot of good things have been said, and we do have to listen to the voice of the Lord. You know, the voice of the Lord, I liken it to this. You know, a radio waves are going out all of the time, but you got to tune into a station. And, you know, I don't know, but sometimes you have to have that dial. You got to turn that dial just right for that station to come in loud and clear. And the voice of the Lord is out there like radio waves or whatever. And we're not tuned in. If we're not tuned in, we're missing. We'll miss it. We won't hear it. It'll be there, but we'll miss it. We just can't connect. So how do we get tuned in? We get tuned in. Everybody know we get tuned in by praying and studying the word and doing what we're doing tonight.
Obeying the word.
That's how we get tuned in. Otherwise, he may have spoke to that young lady and said, don't do that. I mean, we know God didn't want her to do that, but she may not have been tuned in.
And Holy Ghost
spoke
to her there.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. Lord, help
that
family.
My. Let's go a little further. Now, listen to this.
Well,
verse number 25.
Well, before you move forward, Reverend, may I make this point? And this point is, this is why I encourage all of us to not miss opportunities to share the word with somebody else. You don't know what people are experiencing. You don't know what they're feeling. You don't know what place they are in. And so sometimes just the kind word will turn away wrath. That's what the word says. And with the kind word, people will be encouraged. So we don't have to do anything spectacular, but we can make a major difference in the lives of others by just sharing and encouraging them in the word. And we don't want to miss our opportunities. So we have to be sober. We have to be alert.
That's right,
we have
alert.
To always be on guard. So that when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we are in position to
do it.
Act.
That's right.
Yeah, amen.
That's right.
The scripture, I guess,
amen.
Where
amen.
It's at.
Amen.
Everybody probably know, but it tells us to make good of every opportunity, that God gives us. And God gives us opportunities every day, whether it be
every
we go
day.
To the store, whether we're on the phone talking to somebody. But we just have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and allow him to lead us as to when to speak that word or to say that word or give that smile to that individual or send that scripture to that individual. We got to be so sensitive in this day and time to the Holy Spirit that he is leading us and not let an opportunity pass us by.
That opportunity might only come around one time. That's exactly right. We all know what.
Can I share something just real quickly? I heard a gentleman doing a speech one time, and it stuck with me, and that's why I don't pass up an opportunity. But what he said was he had a neighbor. This neighbor would go digging his flower bed every morning, and when he would go for his run, and the Holy Spirit told him, witness to your neighbor, you know, and he would say, well, when I get back from my run, I'll witness to him. So he kept on ignoring the Holy Spirit. And one time he came out, he didn't see the man in the garden, and he was like, okay, I'm going on my run, come back. And when he come back, he still didn't see the man. So he began to inquire, yeah, you know, our neighbor always been out there in the garden digging flowers and stuff. What's his name? Said, oh, he died last night. And look, that taught me very valuable, important lesson.
When the Holy Spirit
leads you, glory to God, hallelujah, whatever he leads you to, whether it give a smile, give a word, say a prayer, go pick somebody food, whatever he leads you to do, you need to do it. You need to do it because, you put all for today, for tomorrow, and it's not promised to me or the other person that I was supposed to do to. So I never miss an opportunity to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, to do what he tells me to do, go where he tells me to go, say what he tells me to say, give what I'm just, look, that's the way we're pleasing to God, when we just follow his lead. So I'm going to shut up.
That's good.
Hey, Reverend.
Yes,
sir. Pastor, will you support something out? If we practice the lifestyle of holiness, see, holiness is a lifestyle, right?
Amen.
And to be holy is to be led by the Spirit.
Amen.
So the lifestyle of being led by the Spirit keeps us in the attributes of the Spirit. So then our practice in life is to please God, which we are the image of, right?
Amen.
If we practice pleasing him, what is Revelation 4 and 11 said, God has created all things for his pleasure. We were and are created. So since he made us for his pleasure, our whole being, 24 hours a day, supposed to be practicing to please our creator.
Amen.
Not the creature.
Amen.
When we start mimicking the creature, then we're in the endemic fallen nature.
That's right.
But as long as we practice to be that image of God, then we take on his holy, perfect, and righteous character. So all that comes out of us is the word of the Lord. It's what God speaks. Our solution to everything is the word of God.
Amen. Amen. I try to keep my ears in tune for a sermon. And that sounds like a sermon, Reverend. Practice pleasing God. Practice pleasing God. PPG.
That's right. That's a good word right there. Hallelujah. You can't go wrong with that one.
No, practice pleasing God. That'll please any day.
Hallelujah.
I heard somebody else trying to get in. Who voice was that? Come on.
Reverend Eric.
Come on, Reverend. Come on. Come on, sit at the table.
Now, we all are hearing that you're saying be holy, practice. We hear all that, but yet and still you're leaving the main part that we really need to hear is study to show yourself approved.
Okay.
Because if nobody's studying, they'll never find the Holy Spirit or know what the Holy Spirit is telling them or who the Holy Spirit is to tell them anything. They will never recognize who that is. And they desperately need the Holy Spirit. In order to get to know who the Holy Spirit is, we have to study. We have to get in the Word of God and put ourselves into that area where we can find the Holy Spirit and allow it to lead us into those lives that y'all are talking about. We can't go into a life without the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
You ain't making it up. Study to show yourself approved, so you ain't making
approved.
It up. The scripture says, study to show yourself. So you ain't just speaking, Reverend Eric.
You speaking what the word says.
And then for the most part, the Holy Spirit has been given to us. So once we come into Christ, our position changes. The conditions are still being worked on, but our position changes when we come into Christ. And when we come into Christ, then our study becomes the practice of our lifestyle. Our lifestyle of coming into Jesus, changing from the old nature. Well, the only thing that keeps us on the changing pattern is the Word of God. That's why we take on the attributes of the Holy Ghost by the Word of God. That's how we begin to practice living right by the Word of God. We came from Aristotle, Socrates, and Plato in the fallen nature, and we picked up Christ and Him crucified in the new nature. So all of before you can live the lifestyle of holiness, you got to read the Word of God. And it tells us, holiness without no man can see the Lord. No man.
Amen.
So study is a part of the lifestyle of holiness. That's the practice, what we read. Mm-hmm. We practice the lifestyle of Jesus, what we read.
That's right.
Man, I got to say this because I never, let me say it like this. He's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. He is not an it. So I don't call him an it because he is, hallelujah, he is, whoo, bless the Lord, I'm getting excited, but He is the Holy Spirit. He is God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. I don't call him it because he's not an it. He is he.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, I wanted to ask a question. Given all that you all have just said, this is just a question for thought to move us along. Why is it that those of us who are saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost are not moved to study, moved to attend, moved to pray, moved to worship? Let's talk about that a minute. Why do we have that deficit in the midst of those of us who are Christians, saying that we are, but not being able to demonstrate it? Because my experience has been such that you call a prayer meeting, if you call a Bible study, we will see. There are so many other things that are more important to us than study of His Word, than worship, than praising Him. But yet we're saying, I want to see Jesus. Yet we're saying, I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied every groan. Yet we're saying that we are His and He is ours. Let's talk about it. Please help me.
All right. Can I answer that?
Okay, yes, I'll let you go.
Look here. What happens is, We are babes at one stage. And when we mature by our experiences with God, then that's when we grow to be more in tune with His Spirit. We no longer mimic the world and have confidence in the world because our experiences with God, human beings, to invisible God, by His Spirit, He brings us to another point of view. Our mindset changes. But at one stage, we're still carnal. You remember the people over at Corinth, the people in Ephesus, the children of Israel? Carnality can creep in and cause us to start mimicking what God has brought us out of. If we do not, what Jesus say? if we do not keep our minds on Jesus, then we can't have perfect peace. When people don't have perfect peace, they run after whatever is there for peace, whether they're in the church, out of the church, or whatever. But if we keep our mind on Jesus, then we become more spiritual than carnal. Carnal saints are the ones that move away from God, the will of God, to do the pledges of their own flesh. Carnality. That don't mean that they don't love God or they're not into God. They haven't grown to that mature point that they all God. You know, the Bible say the multitude of them that believed God, they were of one heart and one soul. In other words, they was in the spiritual realm of vocation. That was their life. So when people are carnal, when people are carnal and they're practicing carnality, then they have a problem with living totally holy because they haven't grown to that point.
Well, then, okay, let me
interject
this. Yeah, because, so her question, her question is, the question is, why is it that those of us who are saved, and I'm paraphrasing it, are not moved to study? Why is it that those of us who are not saved, and she added some more, are not moved to prayer? And so, Reverend, I'm hearing you say, you started out by saying we are bathed. I'm trying to get a, I'm trying to seal down an answer to her question so that we all can be helped. Because I heard what she asked, but I want us to be laser focused and answer it as best we can so that all of us can be helped. And what she was saying is why do some folks who claim to be saved, who claim to be sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, you call a prayer meeting and they don't want to even come on to pray. But yet they love the Lord, and he heard my cry. Reverend Carol, I think you asking something similar to that. Am I right? And we can help each other. And I hear you, Reverend, because you mentioned a lot just now, Reverend, about us being carnal, and that would shed some light on it. If we're living a carnal life, surely we're not going to want to study. We're not going to want to pray. We're not going to want to be in fellowship. You know, we're going to disappear when it comes time to have a prayer meeting or go to the altar or this or that. So I think I just want to make sure her question is, why is it that those of us who save and know the Lord, we move away from studying? As Reverend Eric just pointed out, we got to study to show ourselves approved. Why is it that we move away from the things of God when we should be trying to get closer to the things of God?
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm ready. Glory to God. Okay. My mind was just running. I had to do some personal reflecting. Okay. I got saved. I know that I accepted the Lord as my Lord and Savior. I got baptized. I became a member of the church. But those things, as in attending prayer meeting, attending Bible study, or even in my own personal time, was prayer was nowhere in the boat. Now I can use that a babe in Christ, but it took a spiritual awakening. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ooh, bless the Lord. I'm getting excited. It took a spiritual awakening that happened in my life that moved me to the point where I wanted to know Christ better. Not only did I want to know him, but I want to be more like him. Hallelujah. In my daily walk, my daily talk, my daily action, everything about me, I want to reflect the one that I have been. Something on the inside became awakened. You know, when you're in the flesh, it's dead on the inside. But when you really, really come to a place where I'm empty, I'm going through the motion, I ain't praying, I ain't Bible studying, I ain't attending, I'm not being committed. That awakening has to take place in everyone who confesses Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. And when it happens, you will hunger and thirst after him, his righteousness. You'll want to be at Bible study. You'll want to be at prayer meeting. You'll want to get on your knees and go before the Lord. Ain't nobody, ain't nothing going on. You just want to get on your knees and just be humble and say, Lord, here I am. I just want to hear your voice. I ain't petitioning you for nothing, but I just want to hear you speak to me so that I can get better and I'll be able to speak to somebody else. And so I thought about the Apostle Paul. And everybody's probably familiar with his Damascus experience, okay?
Sure.
We know his pedigree. He was just a Jew, and he set up under the greatest teacher. He speak their languages, and he thought in all of his right that he was doing, he was wrong until he had, I mean, he thought he was right in his wrong until he had that encounter with Jesus on his road. Hallelujah. And when he had that encounter, when he had that awakening, that Christ Jesus is Christ Jesus and you going against me, his life changed forever. Hallelujah. And I believe that we as men and women of God, children of God, when we get that spiritual awakening and we want to know, we want that empty void place to be filled with Jesus, we have an experience that changes our lives forever. We want to be a Bible study. When you say Bible study is going on, hallelujah, I'm there, and I'm going to be encouraging everybody else, come on, let's go to Bible study, you know, and I'm going to be so excited about it. I think that's a big thing, is that if we're not excited about our master, if we're not excited about our salvation, if we're not excited about the word of God, hallelujah, what he says he's doing and going to do, hallelujah, if we're not excited about the beginning and the end and all in between, we can't excite nobody else. So I believe, hallelujah, when it happens to us and we get that excitement, we get that void that we have become awakened that, something's missing. Glory to God. I'm saved, but something's missing. And I know what it is. That's a closer walk with the Lord. And I get excited about it, and I'm ready to go to Bible study. We could tell other people, and they sense that excitement and that passion in us. And they're like, girl, where are you going? I need to go with you. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If you said it,
amen.
When you think about how we are in terms of telling somebody how good something as simple as a movie is, if we just get on board and tell people about the Lord, and so we got to incite and excite people about the Lord, and then they got to be filled with his Holy Spirit, and that's what we need to be teaching from the very beginning. But I have always said that when a person give their life to Christ, the best thing you can do for them is to get them in a serious Bible study. And if they're not wanting to come to Bible study, they are not going to grow, because Sunday morning alone will not do it. Sunday morning alone, just preaching and hearing the word preached is not going to do it alone. So I thank you all for those very fine answers. And I will be able to repeat much of what you've shared as I continue in the disciple-making process with people that I am discipling. And so we've got to continue to work out our soul salvation so that we all will be better for him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's look at another verse before we start to wrap it up. Now, you know what? We have to try to resolve things quickly. We can't let things linger. We have to try to resolve things quickly. And that's what the word tells us. Look at verse number 20:25. It says, come to terms quickly. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the guard, and you will be put in prison. Verse number 26, truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Resolve matters quickly. We need to settle things at the first level. And here's the first level. The first level is between me and you. We need to settle it at the first level. Don't let the court settle it. That's the second level. And please don't let the Lord settle it. That's the third level. That's the level you don't want. So we need to settle things at the first level. And I believe that's what the word is speaking to. If I got something against you, let's straighten that thing out. You don't take me to court and let the court sell it. And please, let's not get to where the Lord says, if I'm going to step in, don't want me to step in. Y'all need to take care of whatever the situation is before I step in. Resolve matters quickly.
That's right.
Amen.
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 You know, but a whole lot of us, we want to postpone, you know.
Yeah, postpone.
Getting things right. We want to postpone settling things, handling things, reconcile, you know. And we don't know. I remember I told a sister, I said, you know, it's best to forgive, reconcile the difference. You can't be playing with this. We both we confess to be children of God, and we confess to love the Lord, and we quote a scripture here and there, you know, but yet and still we want to postpone getting things right with the person that has a problem or out or against us. This is good teaching here tonight, and I thank God for it as just a reflection for me, you know, is don't be trying to, don't hold stuff. You can make it right, whatever it takes, because before I go to stand before God's people and tell God's people what he said, I need to make sure I always use this weird analogy, my ducks fucking in sync. I better make sure I don't get what the word of the Lord tells me to do, you know. And another thing, I do believe this without a shadow of a doubt. If I refuse to make it right, if I refuse to get it right, God is not going to show up and manifest himself in what you do. He's not going to show up. He's not going to stamp his approval on what you do, because he tells you specifically to go and get it right before you come and bring your gift. He makes it perfectly clear. Ain't no if buts about it. You get it right before you try to do the master's will. You make sure that you leave what you're getting ready to do over here for a moment, and you go get it right with that person who might have a problem with you, or vice versa, you got a problem with him.
Right.
But don't let it go. Don't let it, keep going on. Yeah, I don't like not being at peace. It's a terrible thing when God have a problem with you. I tell you, God told, and I'm gonna shut up after this one. God told Amos. Look, God told Amos in that fourth chapter. He told Israel. He says, "I got a controversy with you." And you think about it, when God has a controversial or a problem or issue with you, it's best you get it straight. And that issue is not being angered. That issue is reconciling your difference. That issue is forgiving your brother, your sister, whatever it is. Because in that same, that text, fourth chapter there, he said, you act like you don't know God. There ain't no knowledge of God. You're lying, you're stealing, you're murdering, you're doing all these things. You know, you ain't attending Bible study. You ain't studying. You ain't praying. You ain't seeking me. I mean, it can go on and on and on and on. But it's bad when God have a problem with the people that professes to be his, when we are not doing what God requires of us, that we know, that we get understanding and revelation of what his word tells us to do, and we put it off and we procrastinate. We need to make sure that we do what God will have us to do, and God will be pleased with us. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Enemy,
amen.
The enemy will tell you to wait. The enemy will tell you not to go and take care of things immediately, as God will have us to. But as we have studied tonight, God is more important. Relationships are more important to God than our gift. So go get the relationship right, and then come back and pick your gift up and offer it. So he wants us to make sure the relationships are right. How long are we winding down? I think we need to get into the next section. When we meet again, and we already touched on lust, but I backed up because I had missed some points, and I thank God that I did back up, because so much came out, so much rich stuff came out of the text that we backed up and looked at. So we're gonna begin the next time with lust, and we're gonna begin with verse number 27, and then we're gonna move on. Remember, we are talking about lust anger, lust, divorce, hope, and retaliation. And all those things are in verses 21 through 42, Matthew chapter 5, 21 through 42. And we are looking at lessons from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus taught on the backside of a mountain, and he preached and he taught, and we are trying to glean from that as well. Reverend Williamson, when you were describing the man, the neighbor, who had missed an opportunity, because he just missed an opportunity, and the man ended up and he ended up not having the opportunity because the man left the world. Well, I have a good friend, and I'm going to close my portion with this story. I have a good friend, and that made me thought of my good friend. I have a good friend who he and I grew up together, and this is a true story. We grew up together. We were best of friends. His house was just around the corner from my house, and we'd be hanging out all day, and I would walk him halfway home. He'd walk me halfway back home. I walk him halfway home. He walked me. We didn't want. I mean, we were just that good of friends. We would lie in the street because we were from the country. We'd lie in the street and talk and look up at the sky. We were just the best of buddies. And so as time went on,
did we lose me?
We're still here.
Yeah, I'm here too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think we just lost Rodney.
Connection.
Oh, y'all can't hear me?
No.
We can now.
Did y'all hear anything I see?
I heard you lying in the street looking up at the sky.
Okay. Well, yeah, me and my best friend. So I must be hit the mute button. So me and my best friend, we were, that's just how good of friends we were. And so we grew up in church, but as time went on, I came to Texas. He stayed in South Carolina, and we would talk, but not talk as regularly. So I went home. I went home to for a visit, and he and I hooked back up. I was called into the ministry, and he and I hooked back up. And I mean, we talked about some of everything, Reverend Williamson. We talked about some of everything. We caught up on so much, and it was so good to see him. But I never asked him about his relationship. I knew he grew up in the church, but I never revisited. I never asked him, how's your relationship with the Lord? Are you still as close as you used to be? Are you as close as you want to be? I never asked him anything. When I got back to Texas, it dawned on me that I should have at least addressed that. But make a long story short, he was in a head-on collision, and he died. He was in a head-on collision, and the truck that he was driving burnt up. His body couldn't even be shown at the funeral because he was burnt up so bad. And I thought about that. I said, you didn't even inquire about his relationship. I knew he grew up in the church, but the Lord said to me, you didn't even inquire about his relationship. And you may have missed an opportunity. And so
that's
when
right.
you were telling that story, that's where my mind went. That could have been. I do believe he's with the Lord, but still, I think I missed an opportunity to revisit that with him. So as
Amen.
We were talking tonight, I think Reverend Carolyn, we can't miss no opportunity. And then Reverend Williamson told that story. We can't miss no opportunity because it may be the last time
That's
that
right.
we have an opportunity.
My Lord,
so all of this
My
is
Lord.
Coming out tonight for no reason. I believe that somebody on the line. The Lord might be trying to tell somebody or some of us,
Amen.
Listen, you need to take advantage when I'm telling you to move, when I'm telling you to say, when I'm telling you to talk, when I'm telling you to go. We don't need to procrastinate, and we don't need to wait.
That's right.
Could I say this in saying good night? If we're practicing the lifestyle, then we become more of the lifestyle of wholeness, a witness, doing the will of God. If we're practicing that continuously, not going backwards, but going forward in Christ, practicing a Christ life, being a witness, being a follower of Christ, then a lot of opportunities we would not miss, and we will be affected in the person's life that needs to hear, that's been blinded. But we got to practice being a witness. We got to practice. That's got to become a part. We got to become. That's got to become a part of our everyday lifestyle, because we are witnesses. Remember, he said, "I make you witnesses through all of Judea and to the othermost parts of the earth." Witnesses of this true and living God, witnesses of the death, burial, and resurrection, and the power of the resurrection of Jesus.
If we be
a witness and practice it. You get better and better and better as you practice it. You read, start practicing reading, you become more better reader in the word of the Lord. If you practice fasting, you'll fast because you'll become better at it. You may not fast the whole day. You may do an hour. But practice that hour. The hour turns into 2 hours. Everything that you practice.
That's true. Practice makes perfect.
You are so correct. And I am always teaching that we need to practice what we are studying in the Word. Otherwise, we will not grow up in the Word. But we have to practice it. And that helps to increase our faith. The last thing I wanted to say is this. I want us to also remember that Jesus died for the forgiveness of our sins. Therefore, it is no playing time when it comes to us being able to forgive one another. If I offend you, you have the burden of proof of letting me know that I offended you, so I can have the opportunity to say I am sorry. Now, and once I came to that realization, I didn't play with that. When I realized, you know, that Jesus gave up everything for us. So when I came to realization, for me, I don't play with it. So if I think I might have offended you, I need to apologize. If I think that something wasn't done correctly, I need to apologize. And so I always say, never get too big to say the two words, three words, I am sorry.
Right. Hallelujah.
I am sorry. And then I've got a cousin who said to me, don't say you are sorry. Say, I apologize. And that was so powerful as well. But still, to get the gist of it, never get too big to tell somebody you're sorry.
All right, that's
Because our souls depend on it. Jesus gave up everything so that we could live forever. So we thank God for the opportunity to be in his service, to be saved by him. We thank God. Hallelujah. So I don't want to play with that. And I thank you all for answering my question. Now the question turns into an action statement, and that is we need to get as many people as we can before the word, because when they're in the study of the word, we don't know, and preaching of the word, we don't know when the Holy Spirit will do that one thing for them like the Holy Spirit did for each of us. So we need to seriously go after people and help transform this world, turn the world upside down, making the world our parish, as John Wesley says. We want to make the world our parish, and we want to do everything we can to win as many souls as we can to Christ.
Amen. Now listen. I want to thank all these preachers, and who have shared. And it seems like most of us who were sharing are preachers. But before I say nothing else, I want to make sure that there's somebody who's listening, you know, that wanted to say something, but it could be kind of difficult for you. You may not have been able to get in. If there's anybody, not or those of us who've been talking the whole time. If there's anybody else on the line who want to make any kind of comment, I want to just give a couple of minutes for you or that person to say something, because we, you know, a lot of times people may be trying to get in, but they didn't, and I don't want nobody to leave and hang up and wanted to say anything or wanted to ask a question or needed some clarity on anything. I want us to take just a few minutes and do that, and then I'm going to turn it back over to Reverend Carol, and then Inez, and y'all can close us out. But let's just see if anybody who hadn't
you hadn't had an opportunity, would want to share anything. They don't have to. I'm just opening that door because I feel people's pain when they're trying to
Amen.
And they can't because others are getting in and they're just not able to jump in quick enough. So, again, you don't have to, but
and what
if anybody...
Okay, Reverend Rodney, this is Reverend Leo, and on that 21st verse, 25th verse, where we should agree with our adversary, and you all have talked about the relationship, I think God wants us to agree with the adversary and make peace with our brethren, excuse me, because it demonstrates that we can have a right relationship with one another, then we can have a right relationship with God.
Hello.
Amen.
That's nice right there. I'm glad I let
Amen.
You say something.
Amen.
That's nice. That's real nice. That make a lot of sense. Are there anybody else? Thank you, Reverend Leo. That's good. That's good. That's good. Not,
I think everybody's
you can move
spoken.
To, all right. You can, I'll hand it back over to Sister Inez, you and Reverend Carolyn. How
oh,
do you
Sister
want to
Carolyn. Go ahead, Sister Carolyn, if you want to say anything first.
I just want to make sure that if there's anybody on the line who does not have the right relationship with the Lord, that they want to do that at this time, and we want to give that opportunity. So if you're on the line and you need to firm up your relationship with the Lord, recommit your life to Christ, and or commit your life to Christ for the first time, now is the time to do that. We want you to do that here in this setting. So that is what all this teaching is all about. Is there
Amen.
One?
That's real.
Amen.
Amen. Hearing none, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we bless you for the opportunity to recommit, to commit, to rededicate, to do whatever we need to do to be in right standings with you, O God. Lord, we know that no man knows the day nor the hour that you will come for us, that you will call our name, O Lord. And because we don't know, we want to acknowledge the fact that we are your children, and we want to be in right relationship with you at all times, O God. So forgive us for any transgressions that we may have had, and that you will strengthen us and move us to a new level in you. We thank you, O Lord, for this Bible study. We thank you for everyone who have participated, and we pray, O God, that the line will become so full that we will not have room enough to hold the Bible study participants. We just thank you and honor you for what you have done here tonight. I thank you for Reverend Rodney, the teacher, and I thank you for all of the students in their attentiveness and in all that they have shared tonight. And we just bless you, O Lord, for what we have heard. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you.
Another song on the way out, and we will be done.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. It's called Yes, as a matter of fact, by Shekinah Glory Ministry.
Amen.
Will your heart and soul say yes?
Say yes. Yes, Master.
Will your spirit still say yes?
Yes, Master.
If I told you what I really
mean,
would your heart and soul say,
Ma.
Yes, Master. Hallelujah.
Hello.
And tell the Lord yes.
Yes.
Wholehearted, yes. Wholehearted. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes.
Say, I'll obey Jesus.
Feel. Ooh, glory.
I will obey Jesus.
Hey, hallelujah.
But this time, I
made up in my mind.
Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday Bible study. We had some great discussion on the lessons from the Sermon on the Mount taken from Matthew, the 5th chapter. And y'all need to come back in a couple of weeks at the 3 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Central, and 6 p.m. Eastern. And join us again to study the rest of the lesson. As Rodney had outlined earlier, that was wonderful. So please, you know, bring a friend to church, bring a friend to Bible study, and you can listen to any episode on Let's Do It Radio found on the home page of doitallinthemall.com. Let's Do Radio does not own the rights to any of the music you've heard on this broadcast. All music is original audio from the original artist. So please bow your heads as we say this. May the Lord watch between me and thee.
Between me and thee.
While we are absent.
While we are absent.
One from another.
One from another. Yes.
Be blessed, stay blessed, and shall we meet again? As I say, thank you to the worldwide Let's Do It Radio listening audience. Amen. Amen. And amen again.
Hey.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Yes. Ooh. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Yes.
Ooh.
Come on. Ooh. Hold to his hand. Yes. God's unchanging hand. Hold to his hand. God's unchanging hand. Feel your hold of all things eternal. Yes. Hold to God's unchanging hand. You've got to hold.
Go
ahead,
the music.
Come on.
Oh,
sing it,
y'all.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Lord
yes.
Jesus, we ask you to help us to understand and strengthen us to provide for ourselves and our communities by working together. It takes each and every one of us to come together as the kings and queens that we are and have always been. Thank you.
Amen. Have a wonderful
Amen.
Evening until we meet again.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all.
Yeah. God bless you all.
Be blessed.